Good morning and welcome to A Penny for Your Thoughts with Brian Barnhart on News Talk 1400 WDWS. For over 60 years, East Central Illinois' daily gathering spot for conversation, dialogue, and ideas. You can join in on the phone, online, or via a text. Our phone number is 217-356-9397. Email talk at WDWS.com or text us on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 217-351-5357. Now, here's Brian Barnhart.
All right, good morning, everybody, on a Monday morning as we come your way on Penny for Your Thoughts here today. It's overcast. It is cold out there, 33 degrees. Hopefully it'll warm up here as we work our way through the week. I think it's expected to be, 50 by Thursday and near 60 by Friday, so I think we'll be in good shape there. And, of course, a lot of talk today about the NCAA tournament. Obviously, we've known Illinois' story. They will not be in it. That's obvious, but have known that for a while. And most of the Big Ten is not in it either, as it turns out. Of all the teams in the Big Ten, 14, only four in the tournament.
Yeah, the Nebraska thing, Brian, is really interesting because they didn't get to play the good teams at home. They weren't expected to beat the top three or four teams on the road. Therefore, they don't have any quadrant one win all year. And is that fair? I don't know. I mean, they 13-5 in the league. It'll take us a while to get over that. 13-5, and then they get, a number five seed
in the NIT.
NIT, come on. Nobody respects Nebraska.
Well, we're going to talk a lot of bracketology today. We will tell you that basketball bracket bucks with your shot at $25,000. You can check out today's News Gazette, pages A6 and 7 for your bracket and the rules. No purchase necessary. You can pick up a bracket right here at our studios at 15 Main, downtown Champaign. I'm Brian Barnhart. The voice you heard, of course, was Lauren Tate. Monday morning quarterbacks. We'll do this for a couple more weeks. I think we're going to take it up till April 2nd, the morning of the national title game down in San Antonio, and then we'll go back to our break time, I guess, between April and August. Get you ready for football next fall with more Monday morning quarterbacks. But we'll keep doing this here for the next handful of Mondays anyway. And, of course, today's a big one with the field of 68 announced last night on TBS, as it turned out. A lot of talk about that, by the way. I don't know if you saw how they were revealed. They did it differently than they've done it for the last 30-plus years.
They just blurted them all out in the beginning, right? So we wouldn't have any wonders who. But it took, 13 minutes to do it?
I think it took 13 minutes for Ernie Johnson and Greg Gumbel to get everything out. So I got
but
some.
But by the way, did Barclays, did their picks ever get back on the air?
I don't know.
I don't think so. I think they were picking and nobody paid any attention to them anymore.
Yeah, so that was a little different. If you have any thoughts, I've got some reaction to the way that the bracket was presented for those of us that follow this very closely. That was a big change, so we'll talk about that a little bit. Also, in the second hour, I know everybody has their own bracketologists and people to break down the bracket and talk about it. We can certainly do this all morning or in the first hour. We'll talk some other things, too, regarding Illinois athletics here on Monday morning quarterbacks today. But in the second hour, Sean Harrington, former Illini, of course, played here almost 20 years ago now, getting to be that far back, not quite. But Sean has done a lot of work for ESPN, ESPNU, in the last few years. We'll have him on for a few minutes, kind of get his thoughts on the bracket. And Matt McCumber, who you heard on our postgame coverage with Scott Beatty and Michael and Michael Kaiser and Tim Dippman throughout the year, former manager on a couple of great Illinois Big Ten title teams, including the 05 team that made it all the way to the championship game there in 05. Matt has also worked with Bill, I think, Weber and maybe Bill Self, Billy Gillespie, all the Illini coaches from the past, and Rob Judson in various capacities. So we'll have him on in the second hour as well. We'll just have some fun with the bracket along the way here today. So that's what's happening. Monday morning quarterback, lots to look at. Baseball, of course, inching closer to opening day. That's a couple of weeks out. Some baseball news. Jake Arrieta found a home, apparently. We'll talk about that.
Yeah, the thing that I wonder about is why did the Cardinals let Lynn go? Mm-hmm. They could have paid him $13 million for 1 year. My goodness, he's definitely one of the best five pitchers. He would be on the Cardinal staff, isn't he? Wouldn't he be?
I would think so.
Yeah. And he was last year, and there's been no change. He should be even stronger. And They let him go.
Now he's with Minnesota.
Yeah, Minnesota. 1 year for what, $12 million?
Something like that.
Yeah,
so.
I don't get it. I mean, and of course, Arrieta got 3 years, so that's more what he was looking for. He wanted four.
So he goes to the Phillies. We'll get into all of that. So whatever's on your mind today in the world of sports here, Monday morning quarterbacking, as we do throughout the sports season. And you can join us at 356-9397, Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 351-5357. Email us, talk at WDWS.com. If you've had a collision of any kind, Gallo Miller Paint and Collision Repair, maybe you didn't have a car accident, but you hit a mailbox or something and you got some damage on your car. Well, a Gallo Miller Paint and Collision Repair is a full-service collision repair. They know having a car accident is a serious matter. Choosing the best collision repair specialist is also serious. And the two guys to contact are Dave Miller and Bill Gallo, 18 years in the business, 23,000 vehicles they've repaired. They're absolutely hands-on with their business, and that's not necessarily true of collision repair shops. They know the collision repair business inside and out. They worked as insurance adjuster. I know Dave did, and then Bill ran body shops for other notable businesses in the area. So they've got all the experience you need. Just give them the keys after your accident. They'll take care of everything. Free estimates always offered. GalloMiller.com is the website. They're on the south side of I-74 between Neal Street and Prospect Exit. So check them out today if you need it. Hopefully you won't, but if you do, they're there. 9-11, we'll take an opening break. Back with Lauren Tate, Monday Morning Quarterbacks. Later in the show, Sean Harrington and Matt McCumber will talk brackets. What's on your mind today? Are you following along now, even though the Illini are not in? We'll talk about the Big Ten a little bit and some big recruiting news, too. All that straight ahead here on Monday Morning Quarterbacks. All right, we're on Monday Morning Quarterbacking today on A Penny for Your Thoughts. Brian Barnhart here with Lauren Tate. As we visit with you, we'll have Sean Harrington and Matt McCumber join us in the second hour. We'll be talking brackets today. We can talk anything else. Of course, big hockey news we got late in the week last week. I know Lauren and Michael got into that a little bit over the weekend. The Fazer Law Office invites you to attend their free seminar, The 7 Secrets You Need to Know to Protect Your Home, Your Assets, and Your Family from the Cost of Long-Term Care. Learn about the law that completely changes the rules. Learn much more this Wednesday, March 14th at 1:30 at the I Hotel. Call the Fazer Law Office, 337-1111. Reserve your spot, 337-1111. Ask about the new book co-authored by elder law attorney Thorpe Fazer. It's been out there a little while now. Protect your family. Don't write a blank check to the nursing home. The Big Ten got four teams in. Highest seed looks to be, Purdue at a 2 seed. They'll take on Cal State Fullerton. They'll play in Detroit. Michigan State is a 3 seed. They'll also play in Detroit, close to home. Bucknell is the opponent for them. Michigan plays Montana. They're a 3 seed. And Ohio State is a 5 seed, taking on South Dakota State. So those
is
are
there
the
anybody other than the selection committee that thinks that Purdue's the number one team in the Big Ten? They didn't win the conference. They didn't win the tournament. But they're number two. You explain that to me.
I can't.
Come on. I mean, there's got to be an explanation for it.
Yeah, I don't know. I know Dick Vitale was really upset with Oklahoma State being left out yesterday because they beat Kansas twice, beat Oklahoma twice, won at West Virginia. And I think they beat Texas Tech somewhere along the way. I mean, they beat everybody you're supposed to beat, and they didn't get in. So
I think they had 13 or 14 losses, though.
That was part of the problem.
That hurts. But there were teams with that many losses in the tournament. Yeah, I mean,
oh, sure. Alabama, I think.
Picked at large, yeah. Mm-hmm. Amazing. But, yeah, the thing that I find the most interesting, and I guess it's based on factors other than just how good the teams are right now, but Kentucky and Arizona meeting in the second game, if they both win the first one, wow, that's a big second-round game. Ohio State and Gonzaga, big second-round game. Nobody believes in Ohio State, and people are still having trouble believing in Michigan. Why is that?
Yeah, well, they just don't follow them close enough because we know how good they are.
Yeah, but can they sustain? And was Ohio State slipping at the end? Michigan sure wasn't.
No. Mm-mm. And what about the break, 2 weeks off?
13 days for Ohio State.
Yeah.
13 days. Wow.
That's a long time.
Yeah, you're not kidding. And then they're playing Gonzaga, which is we'll have to check with Paul Klee on that, on who he favors for that game, right?
That's right, our Gonzaga man. 356-9397, and you can text us, Castle Heating and Cooling, text line 351-5357. Two teams that did not get in, Penn State. A lot of people thought Nebraska was – some people thought. I know the Nebraska people thought they were close. I know you guys talked to Dave Revson over the weekend from Big Ten Network, and Here's just about a minute or so of Dave's conversation with Lauren and Michael on Saturday about Nebraska and the Big Ten as a whole, really.
I mean, I do think that these teams are good enough. As I said, Nebraska and Penn State are good enough. But at a certain point, you kind of got to win the games when everyone's watching. And they Nebraska didn't have great opportunities to. I mean, their schedule was stacked against them because of the top four teams, the only one they got at home was Michigan. Like, that's really weird, right? Of the other teams, of Ohio State and Michigan State and Purdue, that they had to play all those teams one time and only on the road, it becomes really hard to build a resume.
You bet.
And if you look at Nebraska, you know, they lost to Kansas on a shot in the final 30 seconds of the game. They were beating Kansas at home. Steve McKeilert hits a three that puts Kansas on top, and Nebraska's unable to convert on the other end, and they lose that game by, I think, 2 points, maybe 1 point. You know, maybe that's not fair. Maybe that's not how you should judge a team. But, again, I think with so many data points, with so many teams, I'm just not sure there's a better way to do it. I don't think there's enough time in the day for everyone in the committee to sit down and watch every game of every team that's on the margin. It's just not fair. And so as fans of the league, the three of us are going to know those teams better than the people on the committee are.
Mm-hmm.
And you can say that's a flawed system. I mean, there are people who are in charge of every league who are supposed to watch every game, who report back. And I, you know, I'm sure that they are doing their job to the best of their ability. It's just a really hard job.
Well, and Nebraska wound up being a 5 seed in the NIT, which...
Well, once the season got started, the Big Ten season got started, the rankings had already, the RPIs had already been established to a point where you could only beat one of four teams to get any kind of a ranking. If you beat anybody else in the league, it didn't matter.
Right.
Because they're all ranked too low. And the same thing was true of the Pac-12.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it didn't matter if you beat 10 teams out there, it didn't matter. 10 of those games didn't matter at all. They didn't record. And I'm not sure that that's fair, but I don't know what is fair. I'm not saying I know a better way, but I just know that, you know, that we'll be talking about Nebraska going 13-5 for a long time, because as long as we've had the tournament, there's never been a team that, you know, I shouldn't say that, since the team went to 64 mm-hmm. or 68 teams, there's never been a 13-5 team in the Big Ten that didn't.
Yeah, not with 13 wins. There have been teams with maybe 10 wins that have been left out, you know, or something like that. But not 13.
Fewer. Yeah, right. That's amazing.
By the way, the Big Ten had four teams. ACC had 9. The SEC had 8. Big 12 had 7. Those some of the conference numbers, the major conference numbers. By the way, if you're an Illini fan, you're feeling bad. You know, we knew that it wasn't going to happen this year. But here are the teams not in the NCAA, okay, just to make you feel a little better. Wisconsin is not in after, what, nearly 20 straight years of being in. Final Four is in 14 and 15. Oregon was in the Final Four last year. They're not in. South Carolina was in the Final Four last year. They're not in this year. UConn, who's in routinely, 14, champ 2014, they're not in.
Neither is their coach.
Neither is their coach. He got fired. Just, what, 4 years after winning it. Louisville, of course, was a 13 champ and was in the Final Four the year before. They're not in it. Oklahoma State and Virginia Commonwealth have been in for 7 straight years. They're not in it this year. Also not in it this year, Northwestern, of course, after making it last year. Notre Dame is not in. UNLV is not in. Baylor, USC, and Washington. So those are some of the teams that traditionally are in that are not this time around. Let's go to Eric. Hey, Eric, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. I watch a lot of college basketball closely, and I gotta say, I've never seen a more fundamentally sound team ever than this Virginia team. I mean, they do everything right. It's like the exact opposite of watching an Illinois game the last couple of years of, you know, how to play the game. And that's just exactly what I see when I see that team. And I was just wondering what you guys think of that one in particular.
I think somebody out there has been established as about the best coach in the country, period, over everybody. Bennett, don't you think so?
Well,
I mean, it's year after
absolutely.
Year. He wasn't even ranked when the season started because nobody respected his players enough.
Well, and I think part of it has to do with, you know, people old enough to remember his dad, Dick Bennett, and the way they played at Wisconsin. Yeah. It was slow. It was deliberate.
Mm-hmm.
And this is kind of like that, but it's not as deliberate, and he's got big guys – and they cut really well, and they pass really well, and they defend like crazy.
I think they got 71 against North Carolina. That's not a bad scoring. Yeah. They just basically take you apart, and they don't make any mistakes on offense.
Mm-hmm.
They just don't turn the ball over. I remember at one point in that deep in that game, Brian, I don't know how deep it was, but it was in the second half. They had one turnover. I mean,
I know. Yeah,
they're careful.
They protect the ball. You think they could win it?
Eric? Absolutely. I think if people overlook that team, it's just because they don't have any big names. You know, they're not loaded with these, you know, blue chip recruits all over the place. They're just fundamentally sound as it gets. You're not going to beat them, though. You know, they're going to play the game their way, no matter what, which is the beautiful thing to see. Very rare, and they're just fundamentally sound. Love to see it. And I wanted to mention a couple things about the snubs. USC was actually a really good team. That for Oklahoma to be in the tournament is a crime over USC. That team peaked 2 months ago.
You're right about the peaking part. Yeah, they finished 2-8, but nobody cares that when they put the names up on the board. The first game they play is the same as the last game they play, which I think is a flaw. I think it's important in what you want. I may be the only one that thinks that way, but I just don't think it's a game you play in December. That's a wholly different team. Even if you kept all the same players, it's a different team. Yeah. Teams change in the course of a season.
All the teams are different in November. I mean, than when they are in March.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But anyway, just want to get my 2 cents, so thanks a lot, guys.
No, very good. Thank you, Eric. Appreciate your comments. 924, lots of text beginning to come in. Text says Lance Lynn turned down $17 million. Dollars for 1 year.
Really?
To go for free agency from the Cardinals.
Well, yeah. Originally, that's right. Mm-hmm. But he thought he was going to get multiple years. I mean, that's why he held out so long.
Also, Brian in Nebraska says the numbers they use to select teams is horrific. There's no way a mediocre Texas or Oklahoma team should get in over Penn State or Nebraska. Even Kansas State getting in over those teams is sketchy. Who have they beat? They were 0-6 versus the only three decent teams in the Big 12. And he says, I'm looking forward to Marcus Foster taking out his frustrations on them, though.
Well, you know, Brian, I wrote about this. It's garbage in, garbage out. When you decide what a quadrant one team is based on the RPI, that is a flawed system right from the beginning.
Right.
And that's where we are. I'm not saying I know a better way, but I know the RPI is not the right way.
And was the change to treating all the games the same, was that new this year?
I don't think so. They've been leaning that way. They threw the last 10 games out about, I don't know, several years ago.
Okay.
The whole idea that you put more emphasis on the last 10 games. I never saw what was wrong with that idea. Don't you want the teams as they are now as opposed to what they were in December?
I think so. If you went by that, you know, the last 10 games, Oklahoma was awful.
They'd be out of it.
I mean, what'd they lose, 8 of the last 10 or
yes,
something
sir.
Like that?
Yes, sir.
So, and then also, I wanted to get people's reaction on the way the bracket was presented, what you thought of that. I had some reactions here I'm gonna look up here and find. These were pretty funny to the way they released it. This is all just Twitter, so, I mean, take it for what it's worth, but it said, the way the Selection Sunday show is released is painful. This alphabetical stuff is nonsense. They release the teams alphabetically. This guy writes in, he says, wow, this Selection show might be the greatest example. If it isn't broke, don't fix it, in the history of Earth. And let's see, they're doing the Selection show in front of a live audience, I thought. And also another guy tweeted, he said, I'm not sure I understand the live audience, which sounds like roughly 23 people. They did a live studio audience there in Atlanta. And I like this one. The Lawrence Police Department tweeted, please do not call 911 to complain about the format of the NCAA tournament selection show. We can't do anything about it, no matter how bad it is. I thought that was pretty good. Hi, George. Good morning. How are you?
Good. I have a question. Why don't they go to another bracket and just have 128 teams on? Only time, and they're back there 64.
So put 128 in, huh?
I would. I mean,
They kind of
have everybody will have a shot. Like I said, they only have to play one day, and you'll be back to your original 64.
Yeah, well, I think they and I agree with you on that, but I think that they kind of already do that now with the conference tournaments. I mean, that's you're in to play. I mean, we were in the tournament, so to speak, in the Big Ten tournament to try to get in. So
right, but that thing about the conference tournament, somebody could sneak in there, you know, that probably didn't deserve it.
Which happened to Middle Tennessee. They got bumped out.
Right. Yeah, they won a lot of games, so then they didn't get in. So.
Yeah, that's what I'm just trying to say. Just have 128.
But it's one loss and you're out from here on. You know, and it's been one loss and you're out for a lot of teams and for the last week. So.
Yep.
All right, who's going to win it, George?
And the Illini. All right.
All right, thanks. Not going to make a pick. All right, whether you want to move to a warmer climate, invest in a hobby, you have dreams, the best savings choice is at a 401k. A retirement account, a 401k, is an employer-sponsored retirement savings plan. You can consider an individual retirement account or IRA, two types of IRAs, traditional IRAs and Roth IRAs. If you're trying to decide between the two, a traditional Roth IRA, utilize the financial calculator in the Resource Center at Busey.com or visit any Busey location today. Call 1-800-67-BUSEY. We'll take a quick break, Ed. We'll come back, and then we'll come to Michael Kaiser for news headlines after this. Welcome back. Penny for Your Thoughts continues after the news headlines with Michael Kaiser here at the bottom of the hour. Your thoughts on the tournament selection show. We have some recruiting news to talk about for Illinois. We'll get into that with Lauren Tate as well. Lauren will be with me the next hour, of course, too. Joining us, though, also Sean Harrington, former Illini. He's with ESPN U, does a lot of games for them, and Matt McCumber, who was on our postgame coverage as well in hour number two. But Michael Kaiser's next with news headlines.
A Penny for Your Thoughts with Brian Barnhart continues on News Talk 1400 WDWS. You can reach out to us on the phone at 217-356-9397. Email talk at WDWS.com or text on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line 217-351-5357.
Back on Penny for Your Thoughts, Monday morning quarterbacking. We'll continue this here through the until like the 2nd of April, I think, is the championship date for the NCAA tournament. So we'll do it till then. Then we'll go back to regular programming on Mondays until the fall. But Lauren Tate is with us. We'll have Sean Harrington join us in the next hour on the phone for a little bit. Matt McCumber as well will join us in studio. A couple of texts left over from last hour. When does the statute of limitations expire? And a couple of lingering questions regarding Illini sports. Whatever happened between D. Brown and John Gross where he was dismissed? Whatever happened to Vince Okrew when he was abruptly dismissed several years ago? Vince Okrew is now what? I think he's at Rutgers.
That's what I think. I remember meeting him on the field this before the game. I think it was Rutgers. Mm-hmm. I think that's where he is.
And he was on Ron Zook's staff, mm-hmm. I believe.
And of course, Northwestern background there.
Mm-hmm. And then D. Brown's now what an assistant at UIC.
Mm-hmm. Got into coaching, which is where he wants to be. He was mm-hmm. not on the coaching staff here. He was working for John Gross that last year, but
I think he was working for the athletic department for a while too.
That's right. Yeah. That's correct.
So. But anyway, eventually left, and now he's back in coaching, I guess, at UIC as an assistant. Also text in, says SEC – oh, I'm sorry, Kevin continued. He said, also might be fun to hear from Lon Kruger, Bruce Weber, Bill Self, Scott Nagy this week regarding their participation in the tournament. Of course, Wright State is in. We saw Dick Nagy here a few weeks ago. I saw him on TV. He was watching Wright State play in their tournament that they won. And also a text says the SEC had three teams in 2016, five in 2017, and eight in 2018. He says now Pitino possibly going to Georgia, although that's been shot down by several people around there. Rick Pitino.
Dad Mata's a candidate.
Apparently
Georgia.
So. Yeah. I'm for the Bulldogs.
He's trying to make a comeback, you know, from that from the back problems that he had and the drop foot that he has. And, boy, I'm telling you coaching basketball is hard work. You got to do a lot of travel. You spend long hours, and you have to be healthy. And I don't know his stat. He must be bouncing back that way.
Yeah, they say he's this report. They were talking about he's at the top of their list, talking about Georgia, and he also interviewed, I guess, with Mississippi or expressed interest in him there. But they say he's refreshed and ready to go.
What about Tom Crean?
Yeah, he's available too.
He sure is.
He's really good on TV, though. I like him on there. 9:39 here on Penny for Your Thoughts. Brian Barnhart with Lauren Tate. Text in to the Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 351-5357. Any news on Tevian Jones on his visit?
No news other than he has not committed, and he Illinois is hard after him. He had a good workout and with a good turnout on Saturday morning, and I think around 10:30 or so, and he's a prospect that they really like. He's a good shooter and about 6'6", a little on the thin side, but he's got a lot of jumping ability. So it's just another guy that Underwood is 100% after.
Well, he's after. He's out there shaking a lot of trees, a lot of bushes, trying to look for players. And what do you got? Io DeSumo coming in. His team's in the Elite Eight Tuesday night in Joliet. Had 27 in Morgan Park's win against their opponent on Friday. Alan Griffin, of course, committed. New York Mr. Basketball finalist. Has his team in the championship game out there. 31 points, 8 rebounds in the semis.
Yeah, he's on a real roll, scoring big numbers, 30 every game.
You mentioned Jones, 2018 four-star wing for fill several needs for the Illini. E.J. Liddell, he'll play at Redbird Arena Tuesday night in the Elite Eight. 16 points in Belleville West, 67-47. Class 4A sectional title against Moline on Friday. And Samba Kane, that was a discussion point, near 7-footer. Just not sure how good he is, do we?
I don't think we really know. He 6'11 and a quarter he measured out and 220 pounds, and he does have some jumping ability. He does have some shot-blocking ability. He does have a soft touch if he can get his shot. So I don't know how good he is on the post in terms of that, but I think that he's a guy they need. You need more you got to have somebody back there. If you're going to play defense the way Illinois is playing it, you got to have somebody around the rim.
Kedrick Prince was on. He's with the recruiting service, covers all of this, and he talked about Samba Kane and on Saturday with Lauren.
I think he's a little bit better than what people think, and here's why I'm going to say that. When I looked at his game film, I mean, at first I was thinking, okay, you know what, he's playing against midgets. You know, he's 7 foot tall. But then I saw a different film, and then I seen him be able to shoot threes. I love his shot blocking ability. Offensively, and this is no disrespect to Greggy Bogdanin that people are comparing, he's way further along offensively than he is. What he will provide for Illinois is this. When they play baseline defense, I remember the Michigan State-Indiana game and Iowa game. They spread Illinois out. They go baseline. And I remember Miles Bridges having a field day going baseline. Him standing there will at least make people think differently, because as thin as he is, regardless, he is a shot blocker. And anywhere around the basket, he's not a finesse player. He goes up strong, and he looks to dunk the basket.
So that's kind of the one of the scouting reports anyway on Samba Kane. I guess both Chin Coleman and Orlando Antigua saw him play, and then they made the offer. And
They like him. I know that. Mm-hmm. I don't know how. We usually have to wait on big guys to reach their potential. Mm-hmm. Hadn't that been the case over years?
Oh, yeah. Takes them longer.
Yeah, it does. So, I mean, just last year, Maverick Morgan was a pretty good player for Illinois last year, but it took him 4 years to do it.
Well, we'll see how that develops. And then also recruiting news, what a four-star player picked Illinois. You had, Marquez Beeson, who's what a four-star athlete, and some people saying that's a terrific pickup.
Yeah, outstanding junior. Mm-hmm. He's got another year of high school. Of course, there are two players coming in from that school, Avery and Myers, big linemen, and I think Avery probably from Dunn. Is that in Dallas? It's Dunn High School, I know. Mm. It's in Texas, at least. Mm-hmm. And I think that you've got a guy there in Avery that probably stacks up as the number one incoming recruit on the Illini team this coming that will be here in the fall. And the thing that I notice with Virtus Brown also in that group, that the defensive line is suddenly taking shape now and in the future. They've got a bunch of really good young defensive linemen. I only counted 10 out at practice tonight because Virtus Brown's being held out and Milan was being held out for some reason today. I don't know why, but I think, and of course, now we know Gay isn't going to be practicing with him. He's a defensive end, but he's not going to practice for – he violated some rule. I don't know what it was, but we just learned about that about an hour ago. So anyway, I think the defensive line in football is going to be the strength of the team.
Beeson, by the way, is a receiver slash cornerback, listed by 24/7 Sports and Rivals, ranked 54 and number 78 in some cases. But anyway, he committed verbally to Illinois. He narrowed his list to Illinois, Ohio State, LSU, and Texas A&M.
That's when you know you're getting a good player.
Yeah, when those teams are considering, that helps. All right, Corey Swanson is a hands-on owner. The Swanson Roofing, the roofing dog, truly a family-owned business, 100% owned and operated by Corey Swanson and his wife, Melissa. Corey's a graduate from Rantoul High School in the University of Illinois. Every job site, 100% cleaned up, one of the strongest attributes of Swanson Roofing. And they take responsibility and ownership of every past customer, and that's a cornerstone of their business. And by the way, if you're needing a small repair and they can help save your roof, Swanson Roofing can help with that. And even if Swanson Roofing did not do your roof, they're happy to come out and fix any problems. So Swanson Roofing, the roofing dog, providing services in Champaign, Vermilion, Ford, and McLean counties. Call today for a free estimate, 217-355-7663, 355-ROOF, or visit Swanson Roofing online at theroofingdog.com. Lauren and I return with more Monday morning quarterbacking. We're covering the waterfront here with Illinois sports, various events occurring. We've got some of the Olympic sport activity, baseball, softball, and others to run through. Second hour, Sean Harrington will join us. We'll bring in our own bracketology experts. Sean Harrington, former Illini, and Matt McCumber, a former manager but also an assistant coach at one point at Tennessee Martin and has worked for several different former Illini coaches over the years. We'll visit with those two men, young men, coming up in a little bit. 9:45, back with more Monday Morning Quarterbacks on Penny for Your Thoughts. Stay with us. Brian Barnhart, Lauren Tate, Monday Morning Quarterbacks today as we join you here on Penny for Your Thoughts. Later in the week, we'll have Justice Steigman on with us. We've set that up for Wednesday. And we got some more guests along the way during the course of the week. Next Monday, I'll be off, by the way. I think Scott Beatty's going to fill in for me on the Monday Morning Quarterback Show. Take a little time off now that the basketball season is wound down. Some other folks have got their vacation, a little time off at the start of next week.
You're going to leave town?
Leave town.
Are you?
Yeah, I'm going to go see a couple of spring training games,
Great. Where?
Yeah. Going to go see the Yankees.
Okay.
Down in Tampa.
Okay.
And we're going to go see the Phillies, I think, in Clearwater.
Terrific.
So that'll
be
fun.
We'll have a good time.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. So that'll be at the end of the week. 356-9397 is how you can join us on the phone lines here today. They're open, by the way. We'll talk a little more with the brackets coming up in the second hour with Sean Harrington and Matt McCumber. 9:50, have any thoughts on who's going to win this thing this year? If you have any interest, I don't know, when Illinois is not in it, I know that dampens some of the enthusiasm for bracketology. But, hey, you know, a lot of other teams aren't in it too, so we'll try to soldier on. By the way, the teams that Illinois here, beside the Big Ten teams that got into the tournament, Marshall got in. Remember them with D'Antoni's brother coaching them. Yeah. North Carolina Central, I think, was a 5 or 6 seed in their tournament and got in. And New Mexico State got in.
Yeah, New Mexico State. I think we played them in Chicago.
We did. Yes, we did.
We didn't do very well.
And that was a good ball club. So
well, I guess Lofton's just had another heck of a game the other day. I talked to Lou Henson yesterday, and in fact, I watched the pairings come out yesterday at Lou's house with him, and Lofton really carried them this season. They got Harris, the transfer guard from Ohio State, but Lofton, I think this might be his 12th college in 5 years. But I mean, he bounced around one place and another, but he wound up at New Mexico State, and he's a terrific guard.
Well, we saw him.
It's a guard's game.
That was a good team. By the way, UNLV did not get in. Team we played earlier this year. A lot of people thought they might get in.
Yeah.
By the way, some other teams, you talk about interesting names and teams that get in. Jackrabbits are in.
Jackrabbits.
Bulls are in. Spartans, of course, Michigan State, but also UNC Greensboro. A couple of Bisons are in there. The Blackbirds, LIU Brooklyn is in. The Titans, Cal State Fullerton, they'll be playing
now,
Purdue.
If two teams named Bisons made it, is that plural? I mean, you don't put an S on that, do you?
I think Bison is plural, okay. If I remember that.
That really confused me when I'm writing. Do you put Bison is or Bison are?
And I know the Buffalo team that I think they got in is the Bulls, not the Bills, to be confused with the football team. You got Lumberjacks from Stephen F. Austin, Brad Underwood's old team, is in. Highlanders, Quakers, and Cougars, a couple of teams, College of Charleston. And by the way, you see Kelvin Sampson's back in the
Absolutely.
Tournament.
He's got a really good team. Playing well.
He's got a really good team in Houston.
He's got some guard play there.
Illini Sports over the weekend. Baseball won 2 out of 3. They beat Michigan State once, lost to Michigan State, but beat Furman. Their home opener, by the way, moved to Wednesday based on the forecast. Softball split 4 games. They had a no-hitter in there.
Five-inning
no-hitter.
Yeah, right.
But it counts, right?
Sure.
Yeah, 13th no-hitter in school history. That was against UMass Lowell. They'll play a doubleheader against Missouri in St. Charles, Missouri, coming up this week on Wednesday. Women's tennis beat Indiana and Purdue over the weekend. They're off until March 21st. They play out in Hawaii then. Men's tennis has won 4 straight matches. They beat Notre Dame last week and at Northwestern over the weekend. They're off until the 20th, a week from tomorrow, at Wake Forest. Men's gymnastics beat UIC and Air Force over the weekend. They'll host Oklahoma 11 a.m. Saturday at Huff. That should be good.
Yep.
I would think. Women's gymnastics won the State of Illinois Classic up in Chicago. They'll compete at the Big 5 meet in East Lansing. And then the Big 10 championships are March 24th here at the State Farm Center. And John Davis, a second-team All-American at the NCAA Indoors in College Station, Texas. He competed in the 3,000-meter event.
We just need our football and basketball teams to be as good as some of the other sports, right?
I know.
How do you do that?
We're going gangbusters on a lot. And some of these sports, women's tennis is coming up. This year.
Illinois hasn't often been ranked in baseball, but they got all the way to they got into the 25th slot last week. I don't know where they'll be this week after they won 2 out of 3. Mm-hmm. They scored 29 runs in 2 games, and then boom, you know, they get knocked shut down. And I think they only had like 1 hit in the first 5 innings. But I talked to Brett Moore this morning at football practice, and he was at the baseball game, and he said they hit line drives all over the place, but they just happened to be caught, you know, and that happens in games from time to time.
It does. That was down in Greenville, South Carolina. And wrestling getting ready for the NCAA championships. They're in Cleveland. They start, I think, on Thursday. And, of course, Isaiah Martinez leading that team along the way and looking for, a third national championship.
Absolutely.
So. All right, 9:54, and let's go to the phones. Alan is with us this morning. Hey, Alan, good morning.
Morning, guys. Have we got any recruits or potential recruits playing in the high school state tournament this weekend?
We just ran through the list here a moment ago. But, yeah, there's a handful of them, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Courtney Ramey's in the semifinals in the state of Missouri playing for Webster Groves.
Do we still have a good shot at him?
Well, yeah. I mean, we got the same shot we always had. I mean, he's considering Illinois as one of the final schools that he's looking at. Yes. Well, he has not had a visit here because he's not going to visit till after he completes his season, and his season won't be completed until this weekend.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Did he visit Missouri about a week ago?
Yes, he did. But his dad didn't go with him, which is really important because his dad is very much involved in the recruitment, and he made a quick trip down there. But and we just have to wait and see what happens. It isn't like, I mean, a month ago, Missouri wasn't in the picture, but now they may be. I don't know what happened there. So just have to wait and see.
Mm-hmm.
But he's
that's pretty much all I got. I'm happy with what we're starting to get in football and basketball, but I don't know what the situation with Black's going to be. It sounds to me like it's pretty much 50-50 there.
Sure looks 50-50.
Mm-hmm. What he is going to at least pursue it or look at it.
Yeah,
like a lot of people do.
As long as he doesn't hire an agent, he can come back. Mm-hmm. And I would think he would come back from that. I don't think he's going to try to go to the NBA this year, although he is going to sign up along with a lot of other people like Cook of Iowa are going to sign up and test the market and then come back. But the thing, if he gets a good offer from overseas, that might change the picture.
All right. Anything else, Alan?
That's it.
All right. Thank you, sir. We're at 9:56. Real quick, Tiger Woods finished second yesterday.
Well, he was close.
Yeah.
He just couldn't quite. He made a good statement. He said, you know, most of his approaches were just enough out far away that the putts weren't really easily makeable. He made one on 17, though. He rolled a long left-breaking putt in on 17 to get within one. But isn't it the guy that wins – finished an hour ahead of everybody. You know, he shot lights out and sat down and waited for somebody to heat. I don't think he probably figured he'd win because there were other players within one shot or tied with him, but everybody made just enough bogeys to fall back.
And went then, in and ordered an Arnold Palmer and sat down and relaxed. Yeah, I don't know if he did.
Well, that makes sense. Yeah, I bet he did.
So, yeah, did Tiger's swing look good to you, though? Oh, did you get that fused spine?
I can't tell anything about his, his swing looks always good to me. He had a lot of good irons throughout the tournament, particularly on the third day. Just everything was right at the hole. But in this case, he was just a fraction off, and as he said, he wasn't quite in position to birdie. He was in position to make pars and lag up, but he wasn't close enough to make birdies.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back. We got a couple minutes here before the top of the hour. Back with more after this. All right, coming up on the top of the hour, 10 o'clock, Sean Harrington will join us, former Illini, ESPN. He'll join us in the second hour, along with Matt McCumber from our postgame crew. All of that straight ahead as we continue on Monday Morning Quarterbacks on Penny for Your Thoughts, WDWS, Champaign-Urbana at 10 o'clock.
It's the second hour of A Penny for Your Thoughts with Brian Barnhart on News Talk 1400 WDWS. You can reach out to us on the phone at 217-356-9397, email talk at WDWS.com, or text on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line 217-351-5357. Now, here's Brian Barnhart.
And good morning, everybody. It is Penny for Your Thoughts, hour number two, here on the day after the NCAA selection show as we get ready for the big NCAA tournament. They've got the tournament course starting in Dayton, what they call the first four games. The last four teams that got in is at large, and then some of the 16 seeds go at it. And then they'll start on Thursday and get it rolling here for the NCAA tournament. The basketball bracket bucks. You can win this. You got a shot at $25,000. Check out today's News Gazette, pages A6 and A7 for your bracket and the rules. No purchase necessary. You can pick up a bracket here at our studios at 15 Main in downtown Champaign. Karen York's out front. Got the box to put it in and everything else. So take advantage of that opportunity. Basketball bracket bucks here with your shot at $25,000. We're on Penny for Your Thoughts, Monday Morning Quarterbacking. Talk a little more specifically now about the brackets, and we've got a couple of experts with us here today. We've brought in, we got three experts, really. Lauren Tate's an expert.
Well, you're an expert than I am.
We got Matt McCumber in the studio with us, and Matt, of course, you heard on our postgame coverage during the course of the year.
Yeah, great to be here. Thanks. Yeah. I don't know about the expert, but I'll do my best.
And for people that don't know, you were a manager on a couple of really successful Illinois teams.
Yeah, we had a good run. I was here from 2001 to 2005, three Big Ten titles and a national runner-up game, and got a lot of nice hardware and a lot of great memories.
And you also worked for several Illinois former coaches or assistant coaches.
That's right, I did. I've worked for Billy Gillespie down at Texas A&M and Coach Self, of course, and Coach Weber, and then went to work with Coach Weber at Kansas State for the last 4 years, and then also Rob Judson at Northern Illinois with Sean Harrington.
Yeah, and that's one of the guys I was going to say you worked with is another one of our guests here. Sean Harrington joins us today. How are you, Sean?
I'm doing great. I'll tell you what, while McCumber was at Illinois, the basketball team was terrific, so give him a lot of credit for that. After he left, the manager staff went off the charts on the basketball team. So.
Stop.
He was holding them back on the court, but he was definitely helping us on the court for the team.
Yeah, I'd rather take the rings for now. You can kill me on the other.
Did I read somewhere that the managers are having their own 60?
Oh yeah, it's unbelievable.
The managers of all 68 teams are going to be playing in the same arenas. Is that right?
Well, here's how it goes. They have an RPI throughout the entire year. They play each other when they go on the road and stuff. They go to Twitter voting to get it down to, I think, an Elite Eight. So you got to have fan voting because obviously not all 64, 68 teams, manager teams can travel, have the expenses to do it. So they manager vote or Twitter vote, and then the top 18 vote getters go.
18?
Top eight, I think.
Oh, top eight.
Yes.
Okay.
Top eight go and travel and do an Elite Eight into the Final Four. Yeah. It's very cool.
Pretty interesting. So. Well, Sean, you've been covering how long now for ESPN?
6 years now.
6 years? Wow.
Yeah, it's flying by.
Yes, it is. And you worked with Matt, right?
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah.
Where you guys worked together?
Same time. We were Illinois. We overlapped for a couple of years, and then we were at Northern Illinois for a few years together as well.
Okay, with Rob Judson, I would take.
Yeah,
so good.
Yep.
So what do you think? Give me your thoughts just kind of on the bracket, who's going to win it. You know, just give me your general overview, I guess, and the fact the Big Ten only got four teams in.
Yeah, I think obviously anytime you take a quick look at the bracket, people are gonna question maybe the last ones in and which conferences maybe got snubbed and which ones didn't. Obviously, if you look at the Big Ten, they had four clear-cut teams that were definitely in, and then there were two that were fighting for bids, and it was Penn State, it was Nebraska. Nebraska was lacking the quality wins, and that was probably, at the end of the day, what got them out of it. It's amazing to think that a 13-5 team in the Big Ten could get left out, but it was a little bit of a down year. The top of the Big Ten was very good. The rest of it was very average, and so there just weren't the quality wins out there that they needed. And Penn State had maybe some more of those quality wins. Obviously, three wins against Ohio State. You wonder, it shouldn't be like this, but you wonder if playing the Big Ten tournament early hurt them a little bit. Did they get kind of left and forgotten in those, you know, 7-8 days in between playing? So many times we get caught up in what's going on now, and you see a team make a little bit of a run, you get them a few wins, and they jump up the leaderboards while Penn State's just sitting there at home after having a very nice run in the Big Ten tournament, but everyone kind of forgets about them. So all the wins should count the same no matter when you play them, but I would imagine that maybe hurt Penn State a little bit, just maybe playing early on and not being in front of the national stage there in the last week.
Had we, Sean, had we analyzed Nebraska's record, schedule rather, before the Big Ten started, they didn't have much of a chance unless they could beat one of the top three or four teams on their court. And that's asking an awful lot to win at Michigan State, or to win, I guess the only team they played at home was Michigan, and of the four, and really put them in a position where under the current rules, they didn't have much chance.
No, yeah, and obviously schedule changes year to year, and that's part of what happens with these conferences when you're so big. You're not going to play teams twice in your conference other than a handful of teams. You're not going to get certain teams at home. You got to go on the road. It hurts you for the selection potentially for getting quality wins at home or having to go steal them on the road. It hurts you in conference races, and I know from experience just when we were there, there were a few years. One year we did not have to travel to Michigan State, and they were obviously one of the top teams in the league, and we beat them at our place. It got us a share of the Big Ten title. And then senior year, we had a very difficult schedule. Wisconsin had a much easier schedule, and we had to we played them twice. We beat them at home. We lost at their place, but we lost to them by a game in the standings. So they definitely had an easier schedule that year. And that happens, and that's unfortunate that, especially for a group that has seniors, this is your last go-around. So someone's maybe not getting into the tournament. That's kind of been their dream, what they've worked hard to get to. But obviously we know money talks, and money determines where these schools are going to go and conference alignments, and that's what we have to deal with sometimes is schedules are unbalanced even within leagues.
We're at 356-9397 is how you can join us on the phones. You can text us on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 351-5357. And you can email us, talk@wdws.com. Everybody has bracketologists all over the place. We thought, hey, we got Illini bracketologists here. We can do this with Sean Harrington and Matt McCumber and Lauren Tate. And if you have any comments you want to weigh in, feel free to give us a call, email, or a text. Let me ask you two guys here, Sean and Matt, about as far as the Big Ten and the teams that, I mean, can Purdue go all the way? Can Michigan State? Which of those teams that got in can actually make a deep run here all the way to the Final Four? Sean, I'll let you go first.
Oh, yeah, if you're looking at it just from a roster standpoint, Michigan State is the scariest. They're the deepest. They've got a couple players in each position. that can obviously be playmakers night in and night out. Different guys can step up for them. The hottest team in the league right now is Michigan. Everybody's throwing their name out there. If I'm looking just strictly at the bracket, I like Purdue's chances the best out of anybody in the Big Ten to make a deep run. And obviously Villanova is playing really, really well, and that's a terrific team. More than likely, that would be the Elite Eight matchup of Villanova-Purdue. But I like Purdue's chances to at least get to the Elite Eight because of their side of the bracket. So that gets them pretty far, where if you look at Michigan State's going to run into a potential Duke, and then they're going to run into Kansas. So I think just looking at the bracket, Purdue would be my team that could make the deepest run. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would totally agree with that. I'm high on Purdue with how they got seeded and where they're at within the bracket. I think it just it's a good matchup for them. They're very experienced, have seniors, have inside presence, have guards that can play, can make plays, make jump shots, create their own shots. I like their roster a lot. And then my second team would be Michigan State, just for the fact that they have athletic studs at almost every position, and you never bet against Tom Izzo in March. So, same would go. I know we haven't talked about Ohio State, but you know, they have a great roster too, with Diop leading the charge, and I don't know. I could see them getting to the second weekend, but.
They got
to
beat Gonzaga. Hey,
right. And I don't know if they can do it. I'm high on the Zags there if they were to match up. So, again, and what Sean said, you know, I'll echo it. Michigan is the hottest team in the league coming into the tournament. And John Beilein, you give him a week to prepare, you know, and then another one day in between, he's going to be one of the best preparation coaches in the tournament. So I wouldn't bet against him either.
Let me ask you about ask both of you about some second round games that I see as, okay. And it starts with Kentucky Arizona, assuming both get through. Sean, what's your thought about Kentucky Arizona?
I mean, obviously a huge matchup. You start looking at two teams that have all kinds of talent. Kentucky went through you know, a little bit of a dip there in SEC play. I don't think the SEC got quite the recognition maybe that they deserved at times for how deep they were, just because they didn't maybe have that elite team at the top all season long. But Arizona is an interesting dynamic going into the tournament because of all the distractions and everything that they've been going through. The talent on that team is as good as anybody in the country. You win the Pac-12, you win the Pac-12 tournament. Again, a four seed may seem a little high. That could be a team that maybe was underseeded, and they could have maybe been a three seed and not seen a Kentucky in the second round. But how do teams deal with those types of distractions, I think, is big this time of year. And, you know, I don't know what the mindset is of that team right now, but Kentucky obviously is playing with a little bit of a swagger coming in off of the SEC championship in their tournament. So, you know, those are the matchups that you really look forward to if both of them get by for a second round. And I think that's where some of the best matchups take place is in that round of 32 in the Sweet 16.
Matt,
yeah.
Kentucky, Arizona.
I'm going Arizona there. I think DeAndre Ayton is the best player in the toll tournament. I think he'll be the number one draft pick.
Yeah.
And he's an absolute load inside, can change the game at the rim, obviously rebounding points, but then I like, they're a little more experienced. You know, Kentucky's got all five freshmen, and I think at the end of the day, I'll take the experience over the freshmen. And I think that's why they had a little bit of a lull in the SEC play during the season. They got 10 losses, and I'm just riding with Arizona there.
You know, I think it's interesting because Arizona's like a team that just got out of jail.
That's
they
right.
They got the coach. They got the
free money.
And
literally.
And, you know, I don't think there's any more distraction there. I think they're probably as motivated as anybody.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. Sean, you hang on through the break. That'll be all right.
Yep.
That worked for you. All right, we'll come back with more. We got Sean Harrington, former Illini, Matt McCumber with us here as well, and you heard him on all the postgame coverage this year. Back with more here as the Monday Morning Quarterback Show continues in a moment. Welcome back, Penny, for your thoughts continuing. Your yard's an important part of the special place you call home. Get the local lawn care professionals at Spring Green to take special care of your lawn and landscape investment. In each neighborhood they serve, Spring Green uses only state-of-the-art methods and materials to produce the kind of results you'll love coming home to all season long. What's hard? Well, it's easy to get rid of weeds. Anyone can do it. What's hard is to have your yard looking good all year long, even in those summer months. The University of Illinois trusts Spring Green Lawn Care to provide some specialized applications to the athletic fields at the University of Illinois. So Spring Green, they are the folks to contact. Again, Spring Green, America's neighborhood lawn care team, serving all of East Central Illinois for over 35 years, including Gibson City and the Mattoon-Charleston area. And their full program customers are backed by their guarantee of satisfaction. So give J.T. Warmbier or Steve Emke a call, 359-2111, or visit spring-green.com. Got a couple of minutes here left before the bottom of the hour. Sean Harrington is joining us for a couple minutes, and then we'll let him go. We've got Matt with us the whole hour. But, Sean, I wanted to ask you, as a former Illini, watching all of this, but you, with your job with ESPN, you see a lot of the smaller conferences, I know, along the way. Who's the team to watch out for in the tournament? Cinderella, I guess.
Yeah, obviously there's going to be some team that's going to bust a bracket somewhere along the way. It always happens. And I got to work with Porter Mosier at St. Louis when he was an assistant with Rick Majerus, and he had a huge part in the rebuild of St. Louis. Obviously, they've fallen off a little here since. But Porter Mosier is a terrific coach. He did a really good job at St. Louis. He's done an excellent job now at Loyola building that program. And it's a team that's playing very consistent throughout the year. You go through and win the league by a few games and then roll through your tournament. I'm just impressed with the job that he's done, the way that they can probably slow Miami down and also make Miami work on the defensive end. They really space you well on offense and move the basketball. So Loyola is a team I could see getting the first round win, kind of moving us around. I called the South Dakota State game. I really like their team. I don't know if it's a great matchup against Ohio State, but South Dakota State has a superstar, Mike Dom, who's averaging 24 points a game. So anytime you have a guy that can stretch the floor, he's 6'10", can shoot the three, and also can do a good job scoring inside as well. And then they've got some good guard play, and they shoot the three extremely well. And we all know in the NCAA tournament, you get hot from three, you can pull an upset. So there's another double-digit seed that could possibly make a run. And the other one that maybe catches my eye is just matchup with New Mexico State. Yep. Could they beat Clemson? And Clemson's a team, obviously, with Grantham going down in the middle of the year. They were playing really well early on, struggled a little bit down the stretch in the ACC, and obviously the injury caught up with them a little bit as well. But those are three teams to potentially keep eyes on to get first-round wins.
Mm-hmm. Before we let you go, Sean, you've already picked your Final Four?
I'm still working on it a little bit. I got to look at a few more matchups, but I really like Gonzaga probably getting out of there. Still kind of tossing up between Virginia and Tennessee. I like those two matching up in the Elite Eight potentially. I do like Villanova and Purdue, kind of looking at those in the Elite Eight, in towards Michigan State and Kansas and that Elite Eight. So still kind of breaking it down, but I think I'm getting pretty close to at least my Elite Eight.
Yeah. Well, Sean, great to have you with us. How's your family? Everybody good?
Doing real good. Yeah. Yep, everybody's doing well.
Yeah. Well, good. Well, good to have you on. Thanks for stopping by for a few minutes. And are you doing some NIT games?
As of right now, no. So it always could pop up here in the second round, and we'll see who wins and loses those games. And but otherwise, just enjoying the tournaments from here and taking it all in.
All right. Hey, thank you, Sean.
No problem. Thanks for having me on.
Appreciate it. Sean Harrington, former Illini, with us this morning. Michael Kaiser has news headlines. Matt McCumber will stay with us. Talk some more about all of this straight ahead as we had Selection Sunday yesterday. What do you think of the show, by the way? The way they presented it. I didn't like it, but I don't know what you thought. We'll talk about that as well coming up after the news.
A Penny with Brian Barnhart continues on News Talk 1400 WDWS.
Welcome back to A Penny for Your Thoughts. Bridget Broyhan will join us in the first hour tomorrow. She helps put out the Central Illinois business and also at home in East Central Illinois and Central Illinois. So it's going to be her last day with us, so we're going to have her on for a few minutes.
open line after that. And then On the Money tomorrow on Tuesday, Justice Steigman on Wednesday. And then we'll tell you about more as we go along. We had Sean Harrington on in the first half hour, this hour number two. Matt McCumber is here along with Lauren Tate. Any thoughts on the bracket? Who's going to win it? Who's your final four? You can certainly do any or all of that here at 356-9397, or you can email us talk at WDWS.com. Text us on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 351-5357. The folks at the Keller Williams, we have our friends there, Steve and Pam Starwall. They'd like to offer you a free, no-obligation home evaluation, even if you're not thinking about moving. If you or someone you know would like a free home evaluation, please call Steve or Pam Starwall at the Starwall Group. They're the husband and wife team at Keller Williams, 239-7156, 217-239-7156. But you can Google Starwall, you can Google Steve and Pam, you can Google Pam and Steve, it'll all come up with the same information. So give them a call. Pam has completed training and earned a certificate that makes her a senior real estate specialist. They can help with out-of-state referrals. Both Steve and Pam grew up in Champaign-Urbana, graduated locally, and know the area very well. From selling your home, home inspection, appraisal, and closing, Steve and Pam will be with you the entire way. But it's a call to action right now. Spring is in the air. The market's hot. The Starwald Group, Steve and Pam Starwald, the husband and wife team, would like to help you out. So Google Starwald, give them a call, 239-7156. Brian Barnhart back on Penny for your thoughts here today. And Matt McCumber is with us. You were just out at the Big 12 tournament, right?
Yeah, I was out there for since Wednesday. I got to see every game except the championship. I left on Saturday, so didn't get to see that, but watched all the other games and came away really impressed. Of course, I had been in the league for the last 4 years with Coach Weber at K-State, so I know it very well. And there's just a lot of young talent in that league. And even an Iowa State team that, you know, they finished 10th in the league. They played really well Wednesday night and probably had a chance to win. And they were even missing their two starters for injury. They just basically shut them down for the rest of the year. They had minor knee surgery. So, you know, I came away really impressed.
What would you think if I said to you that the Final Four will be made up of three ACC teams and one other named Villanova? I'm talking about Virginia, Duke, and North Carolina. And if you look at history and the way that
Right.
How crazy is that?
I'm saying I don't think you're as crazy as some people might say. I'm looking at my bracket right now, and I have Virginia, UNC, Duke, and Nova. And I know that's kind of going more chalk right there, but I could totally see it happening. It's just something about, like you said, I mean, it's the ACC. They've got, I mean, the three teams that we just listed are stacked. I mean, they got pros on their rosters, two or three pros on each team that are going to get drafted after this year. And at the end of the day, you always go with the team that has the players.
Brian, who's your favorite? Come on.
I'm going to pick Virginia.
Are you?
I just like the way they play.
I
they're
do
really
too.
Solid.
I don't know their players well enough, but I sure think they're when I watch them, I'm impressed.
Yeah, I'm impressed every time I see him play.
Yeah.
I mean, it's amazing.
It's amazing what Tony Bennett has been able to do there. He never has a superstar. They guard unbelievably well. They muddy up the game, but they have the efficiency still on offense to get it done. I mean, 31-2 in the ACC, how can you bet against that?
Mm-hmm. I think they lost at West Virginia, lost at home, I think, in overtime to Virginia Tech. So, all right, let's go to Mark on the phones with us. Hi, Mark. Go ahead.
Gentlemen, one of the things that really pleased me with the selection was that Wichita State was not put in the same bracket as Kansas, so there's a potential for both of those teams to make it deep into the tournament. I'd like to get your opinion on that.
Okay. Go ahead, Matt.
Yeah, well, I just saw Kansas out in Kansas City and came away really impressed. Bill Self's had an unbelievable year there, done a fantastic job. It's probably not his best, and he'll tell you that. He's been very candid throughout the year. But with a guy like Devontae Graham as your point guard, you got to have guards to do well in the tournament, and he's got one in Devontae Graham and Mikhailuke. That's a shooting guard for him. They are without Azubuike down low. He sat out the Big 12 tournament. I think he'll be fine to go. I see them making, you know, at least to the Elite Eight, maybe matching up with Duke with a chance to go to the Final Four. Not his best defensive team, which I think that's their downfall. If they run into somebody, they'll let you score now. So, but Bill Self's teams are always tough. At the end of the day, they're going to be tough and they'll fight you.
But can West Virginia, I mean, can Wichita State get by West Virginia?
I, at the end of the day, will say they can. I think West Virginia would win that matchup, though.
Why does West Virginia lead every game they play and not finish the way they should?
Their offense.
Repeatedly.
Yes, and it's always offensive struggles. You never have to worry about them defensively, but offense, they come stagnant.
Does their defense become less impressive as the game, impactful as the game goes on?
Yes.
They shock you with the way they come out.
Right.
As the game goes on.
And even, Bob Huggins, fantastic coach, obviously, over 800 wins. I think their teams wear down throughout the year because it's just so much to do that game after game, day after day. You're practicing these guys. You know, he doesn't have a deep rotation. They might play eight guys, but the way he wants to play and how hard they work, I think it becomes less and less impactful as the season comes. And you could even tell, I mean, they kind of ran out of steam a little bit in the Big 12 championship game versus Kansas, but it's three games in 3 days for them. So I would still pick West Virginia over Wichita State, but wouldn't be surprised if Wichita State won.
Yeah. Anything else, Mark?
No, great comments. Thanks, guys.
Well, you're very welcome. Well, did you like the selection show, the way they presented it?
No, I didn't.
I know. I thought it was kind of goofy.
I really didn't.
Yeah.
And one thing I'd like to offer in closing is I would have rather have seen St. Mary's than Oklahoma in the dance.
Yeah, St. Mary's just didn't play enough good team. Yeah. Other than Gonzaga. They weren't. Right. They beat Gonzaga.
At Gonzaga, too.
Yeah. But that was their only impactful win.
Right.
All right. Hey, Mark, have a great day, okay?
You too. Thank you.
Thank you. 356-9397. What do you make of Missouri? And they played in the SEC tournament in St. Louis. They put Porter out there.
How'd they do in St. Louis? Give me their season record in St.
Louis. They're 0-2 in St. Louis.
Oh, really?
That was the other team. That was the other team I meant to mention who made the tournament. But you know this, Matt. You're around teams. I mean, we had this with Rivante Rice a few years ago where you have a guy out and
bring him
Ray
back.
Ray wasn't out even half that long
right.
to come back, and they try to insert Michael Porter back in it just like it messed him up.
Yeah, and it does. It messes up the juju, I think, of the team. Now, obviously, he's an unbelievable talent. He'll be a top 3 or 4 pick in the draft, depending on needs of teams. But you know, you're getting out there for the first time. He played 2 minutes in the opening game and didn't play the whole rest of the season. So it's learning, you know, where's Michael going to be when he cuts on this play and how are we going to get him the ball? It's like you're starting over brand new again with a new guy inserted in the lineup. Now, he's going to get his points, but it could affect the other players that are with him. So it'll be interesting. And now they're going to be without Jordan Barnett, who got a DWI or I got arrested on suspicion of DWI over the weekend. And so he'll be sitting out at least their first round game. And he's a guy that played really well against Illini, averages 13 points a game for Missouri. And so it'll be more of change. And they're going up against a Florida State team that they can obviously beat, but I think Florida State has just as impactful athletes as Missouri does. So, it will be an interesting matchup to see.
By the way, Jonte Porter's starting to play better.
Very.
I mean, he was a sixth man of the year in the league, and now he's starting to – he's scoring. I think the brothers could make a – I don't really expect Missouri to make any kind of a run, but I think they're worth watching.
I agree. I think it's good TV. They're talented. You're right. Jonte Porter has been playing really well. He's the lefty. He can go out, and if he can be consistent on his outside jump shot, get some threes down. I liken him to a little bit of a poor man's Michael Beasley. I'm not saying he is Michael Beasley, but his game kind of reflects that. And he's got a chance to get drafted in, the mid, late first round, too, just with his play over the last couple weeks.
Really?
Yes. They've got him.
Well, he's young.
He is young.
They like young.
And he's 6'11". And you can't, with his shooting ability, he can step out and make the shot. They salivate over that.
Matt McCumber is the voice you're hearing, along with Lauren Tate. We had Sean Harrington on earlier. Matt was on our postgame coverage throughout the year. and a former manager at Illinois, worked for Rob Judson and Bill Self and Billy Gillespie and Bruce Weber, and was an assistant at Tennessee Martin. He came back home this last offseason, and we've got Danny with us. Hi, Danny.
Morning, Brian. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Just for laughs and giggles, on the left side of the bracket, I got Virginia and Xavier going to the Final Four. And on the right side, I've got Purdue and Michigan State.
Okay, that's one way
wow.
to do it.
Yeah.
Two ones and a one and a two yeah. and a three. Two so, ones, a two and a three, huh?
So what? Absolutely. So what's your logic there? You just like?
I have seen Virginia play,
mm-hmm.
And they are just a solid, hardly mistake-ridden basketball team. And then I like Xavier. I've seen them play two or three times, and they are just a run-and-gun team. And then, of course, the two stalwarts from mm-hmm. the Big Ten.
Yep, and you know a lot about
don't
them.
Don't ever count Tom Izzo out.
That's a good point.
You.
Well, he's been there enough, that's for sure.
And then I got Virginia playing Michigan State for the title and Virginia winning.
Well, I'm kind of with you on Virginia. I know it's not the most exciting, but is it? It's solid. Thank you, Danny.
All right, bud. Thank you.
All right. We'll take a quick break. Back with Matt McCumber, Lauren Tate, Monday Morning Quarterbacks. We'll come back with more after this. Time out. Back on Penny for Your Thoughts. Facer Law Office invites you to attend the free seminar, The 7 Secrets You Need to Know to Protect Your Home, Your Assets, and Your Family. From the cost of long-term care, learn about the law that completely changes the rules and much more Wednesday, March 14th at 1:30 at the I Hotel. Call Facer Law Office 337-1111. Ask about the book, co-authored by elder law attorney Thorpe Facer, Protect Your Family. Don't write a blank check to the nursing home. We're talking a little bracketology here. You got a kid from Tolono, me, a kid from Monticello, Lauren, and a kid from Tuscola here, Matt McCumber.
Well represented.
We've got the area. We've got the rural area surrounded here. Let's go to Dale. Hey, Dale, good morning.
Good morning, guys. You might have talked about this already, but I'm way over here in Indiana, and I just barely getting you on my car radio. I'm traveling. I didn't get a chance to watch the selection show. I probably wouldn't have watched it if I was home anyhow. But I was doing a little channel surfing last night, and I caught one of the like ESPN2 or something. The host of the program was asking one of the guys on the selection committee about, I think it was Louisville, USC, and somebody else, on the troubles they were having.
If Oklahoma State, yeah.
The factor in that they didn't get selected. And he said no. Was their records a hindrance to them, or was you, Lauren, do you think it was because all the problems they're having?
No, I don't think. I think that there are probably some people relieved that they didn't make it, but I don't think the committee considers that. I really don't. You got a lot of really honest, good, strong people on that committee, and they do the best they can. I don't think they would go, I don't think they'd drop USC for that reason, although USC had a player that evidently got some offers, money. I don't know if he got it, but I know that it was in the Adidas list.
Well, what was Louisville's record? Did they didn't hit 20 wins, did they?
They were 20-13 and 9-9 in the ACC. But here's the deal: they only had three top 50 RPI wins, and three top 50 RPI wins in the ACC is probably not going to get it done, because they have multiple chances to get those wins up, and it just didn't happen. You know, they lost. They're up four with 1 second left, actually 0.9,
yeah,
against Virginia, and they lose the game. So right there is what did it.
You ever seen anything?
Never in my life.
How hard is this to get the ball in bounds late in the game?
Yeah, I know. Illini fans called in. The Illini had their troubles throughout the year. It's amazing. It's just not the Illini, trust me. It's all over college basketball. It is those plays. It are tough to execute,
particularly if you can't move.
Absolutely.
All right.
Okay. Well, what about like Oklahoma State lose 8 out of their last 10?
That was Oklahoma.
I'm sorry, Oklahoma, yeah. And they got selected, didn't they?
Yes, they did.
Yeah, they did. I would say two words: Trae Young. Because
well, I'd say look again. the games in December and January count the same as the game now. So you just you can't pick out and say, well, because they didn't do something in the last 10 games, what about the first 20? And they did pretty well. At one time, they were ranking the top five in the country.
Yep. They were number four, and I think the committee really weighed those earlier games. They got a lot of top 50 wins in those first month and a half, and then did lose eight of their last 10 and kind of limped in. Mm-hmm. But, it'll be interesting. I just don't see them going that far in the tournament, but you never know.
You never know who's going to make threes.
Thank you, Dale. Yeah. Yep. We'll take another break. Back with more. We've got Matt McCumber with us for a couple more minutes, and we've got Lauren Tate here. Back with more Monday Morning Quarterbacks after this. 10:58 here on Penny for Your Thoughts. We'll have 1 hour for you tomorrow. We'll talk to Bridget from the Central Illinois magazines we put out, her last day here before she goes elsewhere. Want to remind you that Christian DeLauro has been writing a weekly diary for us each Sunday the last 2 months, detailing his NFL draft process. He'll be our guest tonight, 5 o'clock at the Esquire. He'll be in town because today is pro day for the Illinois football team. So good luck to Christian DeLauro. He'll be the guest of the News Gazette sports page after 5. All right, got a minute or so left. Any final thoughts on all of this?
Well, it's always interesting. I love the NCAA tournament, and I don't think there's any better sporting event for me personally because I've lived it. And the NCAA, when you go to the tournament, they treat you like gold, and there are memories that last a lifetime. So I'm all about it. I will be watching all I can. I'm still going my Final Four: Virginia, UNC, Duke, and Nova. Again, I know that's pretty much chalk, but I think they have the best players. And I still like Virginia to get to the national championship game versus Nova. So that's what I'm going with.
I'm interested in a couple of first-round games. Missouri-Florida State attracts me.
Yeah.
I'm just interested in that game. And I'm kind of interested in seeing what Davidson can do. I'm interested in Davidson because they're playing St. Bonnie the other day, and St. Bonnie's in the tournament. Davidson's got no chance, right?
No. Right.
They're a 3-point favorite against St. Bonnie, even though they're supposed to be worse. And then they beat them, and they go ahead and win the dang gun tournament. So Davidson must be doing something right.
All right. Hey, guys, thank you.
Hey,
thanks,
thank
Matt.
You.
Appreciate it.
No problem. Thank you,
Lauren. Thank you, Sean Harrington. Thank you, Ed Bond. I'm Brian Barnhart, WDWS. Champaign-Urbana, 11 o'clock at the tone.